Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Ann Ortley's weekly weather show. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City. And I'm sitting here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan at my bright red desk after a lovely weekend. And I'm going to talk to you about what you can expect in the week ahead. Busy week. Always nice to know we're going to have a busy week. It's a two-page week, as I like to think. Every week I print out the aspects for my column, and when it goes to two pages, I'm always like, ooh, it's a two-page week, which means we get to work with a lot of energy shifting and swirling around us and changing in our changing in our being and in our life and in our world. And we kind of feel the energy as a swirl, you know. And so one of the energy things to watch is that there is no fire in the sky, still no fire. So with no fire in the sky, we tend to be highly emotional. The fire planets have nothing to hang on to. So the Aries and the Sag and the Leos, those people especially, but those planets in our chart, if we have planets in Aries or Sag or Leo, can get a little excited. They can get a feeling a little under the weather because there's nothing to flare with. There's that soggy, wet feeling. You know, remember, I don't know if you were ever a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout, and you went camping, and your boots were wet, and your socks were wet, and you got in the sleeping bag, went to sleep. You got up the next morning, and your boots were still soggy, and your socks were still soggy, but now they were cold. That's kind of what the energy's like. So the Scorpio energy, it's a Scorpio feel, too, because a lot of the planets are answering to Mars in Scorpio or Venus in Scorpio. So all the Libra planets, of which there are a few in the sky right now, are talking to Venus in Scorpio. And then she looks to see Scorpio. She looks at Mars to see what Mars is doing. And Mars is in Scorpio, so he answers to himself. So we've got planets that are very, very much either answering to Venus or they're answering to Mars in Scorpio, but Venus is in Scorpio too. So a lot of the energy is Scorpio. Scorpio, Scorpio, Scorpio. And we saw it this week with the miners basically being birthed again. They came out through a giant birth canal in their little can, one at a time, 33 babies delivered. And actually they were keeping track of the times, and somebody wrote me and said, does that mean they have a second chart for their rebirth? And I said, yeah, I think it probably could count. I mean, certainly it was a significant moment in their life. But I also think when we look at that energy and how the world kind of stopped and tuned in, and they've been underground for 6 weeks, waiting for us to come and rescue them. And so now they're above ground, and now they get to go through the process of really re-entering the world. Venus in Scorpio, of course, rules the underworld. So Venus is in there. Mars is in Scorpio's sign. And the underworld in the northern hemisphere is, in November, is Scorpio's time. And it talks about the ending of everything because we have fall and the plants all die and the leaves turn colors and we lose the shapes of things. And then we move into a whole new direction because we enter that season where everything changes and all the leaves fall off the trees and we see the endings and the loss of life and the finishing of the growing season. And we, of course, look back and say, wow, what happened? How'd that go by so fast? How can it possibly be almost Halloween? How can I be getting Christmas catalogs? I'm already getting Christmas catalogs. Order your Christmas presents early. But Scorpio is the time where we really are, it's a really take charge time. And I think if we look at the collective, which is always really interesting to kind of watch when we're having it, I got an email from a friend of mine who wrote, did you watch The Office this week? It was such a Venus in Scorpio episode. And I have to say, no, I didn't watch The Office. But for those of you who did, it was a Venus in Scorpio episode. And for the we've got a lot of relationships now that Venus is going backwards, breaking up. We had Courtney Cox and David Arquette call it quits after 11 years. Now, when you hear 11 years, 12 years, you think Jupiter, okay? It's Jupiter's cycle. When you hear 14, you think Saturn, right? And his comment was, well, she said she didn't want to be my mother anymore. Scorpio, we want to be passionate. We want to be desired. We don't want to necessarily take care of people in a maternal way. We want to take care of people in an equal partnership way, because Scorpio seeks equal partners. Libra's the sign when we find the partner. Scorpio's the sign when we merge with the partner. It's the actual physical merging. It's the sex act, as opposed to the, hi, how are you? You want to dance? You think I'm pretty? That's the Libra part. Scorpio is when we get down to business and we actually see who partner really is. So with Venus in Scorpio, we are retrograde. We are hearing from our old loves. One of my friends today was very funny. She was saying, you know, this guy who broke her heart. I remember when he broke her heart. She was over at my house. I had a party this afternoon, and she was saying, you know, he contacted her and he said, you know, I hear you're involved with this. You're involved in a serious relationship. The answer, of course, to that is yes. She recently bought a house with the guy. And he goes, so do you want to break up with him and go out with me again? I realized I made a really big mistake by breaking up with you. And she was kind of like, what? What? Do you want me to break up with a good guy that I have a good relationship with to go back with you who broke my heart and were a weenie? But Venus and Scorpio will send us back the old loves or send us back the old relationships, because part of its job is to say, okay, let's look at that old relationship. Now, in my case, I had a falling out with someone in December, and this, the eclipse, the full moon last week was bringing up the eclipse from December time frame, and I found out I'd gotten Facebook blocked this week by them. I'd never been Facebook blocked, and I was kind of like, Facebook blocked? Really? Wow, what's that about? You know, first I thought they had dropped out of Facebook, but then I checked in with some of our mutual friends, and they could all see them. They could see the person, and I couldn't. And I'm like, wow, Facebook blocked. I guess that's a statement, isn't it? And then I remembered back that when that person was breaking up with their boyfriend, there was a whole bunch of Facebook drama. And I thought, okay, so Facebook is how they express their disappointment or their whatever. They block you. Cool. Well, I've been Facebook blocked. And it's Venus in Scorpio, so we're passionate. We're irritated. We're annoyed. Or we're really in the mood to kind of stir up the darker stuff, because Scorpio has a little darker side. Got a little drama with it. Got a little, gee, let's have some fun. So Courtney dumps David, and he goes on Howard Stern. He goes, yeah, well, I had an affair. You know, it's like, oh, no, David, if you really wanted to get back, probably not a good thing to go on Howard Stern and announce you had an affair. But that's the lower form of Scorpio, the drama-inducing, let's have a little excitement kind of form of Scorpio. We want to call it lower form because its purpose is to invoke jealousy, to get the person to behave or change or do what we want. Remember, Scorpio has a little bit of manipulation involved in it. Now, when I look at the news, the higher form of Scorpio, you know, for what it's worth, is there's a project that was begun by Dan Savage, who's a columnist for the Village Voice here in New York. He writes a sex column. And he and his partner, in response to the teen suicides, actually before the kid who was filmed in New Jersey at Rutgers having sex, before him, Dan did this. But then after that kid jumped off the bridge, even more poignant, the number of children that are killing themselves over sexual issues, Scorpio rules sex, or sexual desires, or over bullying. Scorpio Pluto can be a bully. He's not necessarily a nice guy. And it's the subtle stuff. It's the ice you out. It's the you're not worth it. The I'm bigger than you are. You know, I can take you. Leave me alone. So Scorpio has a whole energy to it of passion and mean. You know, it's kind of the meanness where you do the subtle shun and the person picks it up, but they can't really say anything because it's subtle, but everybody knows what's going on. So Scorpio is a bully, can be a bully. It's not a pound you in the head bully. It's like a subtle mean bully. It's the you're not invited to the party, but I'm going to let you know I'm having one party kind of person. And so at any rate, Dan Savage organized this It Gets Better campaign, where he and his partner got on YouTube and filmed a vignette about them and how they met and when they were young and they got bullied and what they would say to their 14-year-old selves now, standing in their life looking back. And what it has done is prompted this huge response from numerous people, including many celebrities who are gay. Tim Gunn of Project Runway got on the air and started to kind of cry, and, you know, he apparently tried to kill himself when he was a teenager, took 100 pills, and didn't die. You know, and my brother is gay, and he tried to kill himself his senior year in high school, and a friend of his did kill himself the year before. And so I think it's been a long-term issue. You know, and I know I was thinking I wanted to get on and go, I'm the sister of a gay guy, you know, and he tried and he didn't and he made it, and, you know, and he's happily involved with his partner, and his partner has a couple kids from his marriage, and they have dogs, and they have a nice life, and, you know, don't do it. Don't kill yourself. It gets better. And the Dan Savage, you know, if you haven't Googled it, Google it. But there was a lovely thing on Yahoo that a video that went viral of a town hall meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, of a man who was probably in his 40s, and he was talking about when he went home at age 12, and he said, I've never told this story before, and clearly he had thought about killing himself and either had been unsuccessful or something, but that, you know, and he was like, he started crying, you know, and telling the story. And then there was so heartbreaking, there was this little teenager, high school girl, Eva, talking about her friend Aiden, who had killed himself. Aiden was a female-to-male transgender and had transferred during high school and dropped out and then killed himself right before his 18th birthday. And she said, you know, the thing that was really hard, it was like nobody cared. And, you know, and I wish Aiden was, you know, and she was just so sweet and talking about nobody cared. He just died and nobody cared. And she said, and now I know that all these people care, and I wish he was alive to see that all these people care, and that all these people loved him, and that he couldn't get past the love. He couldn't see the love for all the pain he was in. And so I know I've been watching these videos and crying every day. I'm just like, you know, and Lance Bass, the NSYNC hot guy, you know, the hot guy in NSYNC, he's there saying, I used to bully kids. I used to bully them, and I had a big old secret because he came out as gay, you know, a few years back. And so I think it's also, you know, understanding that we're all feeling very, very sensitive and very emotional. When I watch grown men cry in front of a city council meeting in Fort Worth, Texas, as they describe what they went through as children, and I watch the reactions of the people on these YouTube videos talking about their childhood and what they went through, the Venus in Scorpio is bringing up very old things, very old issues, very old emotions. And the only way we can clear those emotions is to have them surface and to have them get out of our insides and out somewhere on the table, and they may be a little messy when they come out. You may cry in front of the city council meeting, or you may just cry in your house, but you do need to get them out of your body, because part of the emotional content, the emotion of this time, is to help us process emotionally where we are. And for us as creative people, we co-create our life. We are part of our world here, building our life and creating it. Emotionally, we have to free ourselves of those past difficult times. Never going to forget them, but we have to let them go. And we also have to come to a commonality and to understand that other people care, other people have those feelings, and other people have experienced them, and what have they done with them. So in the Venus in Scorpio time, as she goes back towards the underworld, as she goes deeper and deeper in, and, you know, she's doing this until we get into the middle of November, okay? She's in Scorpio going backwards, right? So while she's digging back into the Scorpio stuff, even though the miners are free, you know, they're really still reliving their experience. It's not going away. They're going to tell people about it. They're going to whatever, but they're still processing. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to release these emotions? And then once she pivots in November, and interestingly, she pivots on a day that Jupiter stations, and the two planets are going to actually be in an argument. So they're going to say, okay, you've cleared all these emotions out. Now that you've cleared them out, let's release them and let's let them go free. But in the meantime, your job right now is to clear them out. That's the goal. So digging into them and giving them voice, giving them feeling, giving them understanding, you know, connecting with them on a deeper level and understanding how those emotions have driven your choices up until now. We make many of our choices based on our emotional responses. So the only way to make different choices at the crossroads that we're facing in the world is to understand the emotions that drive our current choices. Look at them. Decide if they're useful. Are they useful emotions for us? Not useful. And once we make that determination, then we can say, yeah, useful emotion, not so useful. And we get to decide what to do with it, and we get to figure out how to work with it. So I think part of the response to all these kids jumping off and killing themselves or hanging themselves. And there's been an uptick in gay bashings, at least in New York. There was a pretty brutal event with 9 guys ganging up on 3. One was a gang member, and one was their friend, and they said, you can come back in. You know, we don't care. You know, now that we've sodomized you with a baseball bat, it's fine. You know, it's an understanding that we're all working in the underworld right now. Our emotions are in the underworld. Our actions are in the underworld. There's not a lot of light. We're feeling the darker feelings. And Mercury joining to the Sun this week is very much a dogmatic placement, meaning Mercury to the Sun, it makes the Mercury be combust. It's what's called combust the Sun. And so it doesn't really see that there's other opportunities or choices to do things. It doesn't see there's a vision of how this can work. And so that's the other part of it, is like, well, what is the vision? How can we do it in a different way? What else is available to us? And now that Mars is moving forward, at the end of the month, he does go into Sagittarius, so we get a little bit of fire once he does that transition on October 28th. But the next 2 weeks, we've got very little fire. We do have a full moon in fire. So the one light that comes on is a full moon in Aries in fire, and that happens on Thursday and Friday. And we then have a little bit of light to see things by, but of course it's Mars light answering to Mars in Scorpio. It couldn't be a full moon in Leo. It has to be Aries answering to Mars in Scorpio. So we're going to see stuff, but we're going to see stuff in a highly emotional way because the Aries answers back to the Mars. And because it's a full moon, we go back to the spring of 2009 when we started this, back to the Aries time, back to the season of April of 2009 when something happened. And the full moon takes place this week that helps us see what that was and work with it. So that's always a nice little juicy piece of the week. The other thing we have this week is we have a lot of Mercury aspects. And Mercury is pretty busy, and he leaves Libra, okay, this week, and he goes into Scorpio. And when he goes into Scorpio, he is not going to be communicating in a nice and polite manner anymore. Mercury in Scorpio is quiet. Libra tries to explain stuff, tries to be nice, says, you know, this is what I really want, this is what I'm looking for, wants to make peace, wants to be quiet, wants to be communicative, not quiet, wants to connect and chat and connect and relate. So on Wednesday, he goes into Scorpio, and when he goes into Scorpio, he's going to get much more intense. He's not going to talk. Because he's in Scorpio now, so he's silent, and he notices. And Mercury in Scorpio, whenever I have a client with Scorpio, particularly Mercury in Scorpio, I'll, you know, do their chart, and I'll lay it out, and I'll go, okay, so here's your chart, and I talk for a little bit. And I can talk totally fine without anybody talking. As you can tell, I've just talked 20 minutes with nobody talking but me. And then I go, okay, and then if we look at your chart, there's these areas that are active. There's this area, this area, this area, this area. And I kind of point out the areas, and I say, and I don't know which one to start with first. Which one do you want me to cover? And then I just sit and look at them. and I make them pick their little finger up and point to a house. Okay, you want me to talk about your second house issues? Okay, I can do that. And then what's your second choice? And then they point to the second house. I'm like, okay, so we'll do it in that order. So when Mercury goes into Scorpio on Wednesday, we're all suddenly going to become therapists. We're all going to go, We're not going to talk. We're going to make noise and hum silently. We're going to nod. We're going to look at them. We're going to go, wow. We're going to see the patterns. Mercury goes into Scorpio, baby cakes. You see the pattern. He doesn't miss a thing. He knows, oh, my God, she had an affair last night. Look at her. It's the queen in Shakespeare in Love, and she looks at Gwyneth Paltrow and goes, my dear, she's been plucked. And I was like, what? You know, the queen took one look, and she knew she'd been plucked. It's like the time when I got drunk when I was 15 or 14 or whatever I was, and my friend Lori Ellington, her sister Linda, got the liquor, and we went over and we drank Singapore Slings. And Lori had sat there and told this whole big story about how Linda had gotten her drunk. And now, of course, was recruiting me. And I was going to do an overnight and whatever and had Singapore Slings and came home pretty hungover and didn't look really good and was kind of green. And later in the day, my mother said, so did you enjoy your first drinking episode? I'm like, how did you know? And Mercury and Scorpio. Okay, so we're all going to be wise mothers watching the world around us, or wise fathers, if you're a guy, watching the world around us and going, okay. And Mercury in Scorpio gives us that wisdom, and that happens this week. We also have Mars trine Jupiter, so we're going to have a burst of energy in terms of what we want to accomplish and where we want to go. And we also have Mars square Neptune. Mars square Neptune means we lose the blinders. Where, to a certain extent, even though we've, you know, we do try and see things, when Mars is in the sign of Scorpio, approaching the square, which it has been for the last 10 degrees or so, we don't see things quite the way we need to. And when he does the square, we actually get it. We see it in a clear way, you know. So I think what will happen this week, because of the configuration of the lunation on the fall ingress, is I think we'll actually start having some coverage about how much money has been donated to the Better Business Bureaus and the civic community groups without names. That is because of the law, the bad ruling by the Supreme Court that said anybody can donate however much they want and they don't have to keep track of it, that basically gutted McCain-Feingold. The campaign contribution law, there is an enormous amount of money running around in this midterm election funding people through the Chamber of Commerce, through Better Business, through groups. And we don't know who the money's from, and we don't have to tell. You know, kind of a don't ask, don't tell who's doing the political donations. And I don't know about you, but I like to know who's paying to get these people in office, because they're going to be coming around next week after they're elected, or a couple weeks after they're elected, and saying, I gave you a lot of money, now I want you to do my thing here. And I know we say, oh, the elections aren't for sale, but they sure look like it this year. So with Mars squaring the Neptune moon Chiron, I think that will be when we start to get a little coverage about how much money is actually awash out there, running around chasing after candidates that we hope will do, that they hope will do their bidding. And I have to say, I think John Roberts, Supreme Court, did a crappy job on that one. I think corporations are not people, and they should be forced to dissolve every 80 years the same way people do. We have to pay death taxes. They should be forced to die, because they never die. So they continue to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and they accumulate all the small businesses right out of the country. You know, I had a good friend whose family owned asphalting in Rochester. They were the big asphalt people. And when her dad died and her uncle, the inheritance tax was so big that they sold the company to pay the taxes. And they sold it to a major conglomeration who now can own it for the rest of their lives and will never, ever, ever, ever have to pay any taxes on it, because it's never going to die. So I think corporations should have to die every 80 years or so, same way we do. and sell everything off and then start again. And I think that would actually be a really good thing. And until they can die, until they agree to die, they don't get to have, and I don't think they should have freedom of speech. Their money wins. This just makes me absolutely crazy, especially because they lie all the time. Like if they were telling the truth, I'd be happy. But, you know, you got a Pinto or a Ford that knows for $12 more that they move that gas tank, it's not going to explode. And they lie and they lie and they lie and they lie until it gets proven that they've done it. But in the meantime, they've got the money. The rest of us don't have the money to pursue lawsuits like that. They're clogging up the courts. I mean, most of the things that we see in the courts these days are not people suing people. It's corporations suing corporations or corporations suing people. And I think they should be forced to die like they used to have to die. When they first were invented, they had to die at age 80. And then they passed a law that said, no, they didn't have to. And I think they should have to die. I think that's actually a good thing. And I know technically they do go through mergers and acquisitions, and they do get blown up. And every now and then, you know, I've done astrology of investing, and I've looked at stock market charts. But Pluto, you know, not that big. Saturn, you know, public hates them. But really, very rarely do they actually blow up. In the meantime, they have a lot of stuff, and they keep getting more. And that means the people don't have the stuff because the corporations have it. So anyway, enough of that rant. Sorry, I just get really crazy. And when I was listening to Meet the Press this morning or whatever that show is at 10:30, I was like, what? What? You know? So anyway, with the amount of money awash, the Chamber of Commerce awash in. Chambers of Commerce are awash in. And we don't know where it's coming from. So we can spend millions of dollars where you and I, you know, $30 is a lot of money to me. For them, $30 million, not so much. All right. I said I was going to stop ranting, and I went right back to it. Okay, we are going to stop. All right, so anyway, we do have these lovely aspects. Now, this week, the moon is in Pisces. Oh, that's why I'm adrift, okay. The moon's in Pisces tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday, with a closing aspect, a lovely closing aspect of a conjunction to Uranus. So it's a great day to get new projects out the door and start them, especially if you want a little excitement or a little fun when they happen. Then at 11:30 on the Wednesday, the moon goes into 11:23. The moon goes into Aries, and it's in Aries on Thursday, and it's in Aries on Friday, and we're going for a culmination of a full moon with the moon opposite the sun. So this separating aspect, moon opposite the sun, helps us see things. And interestingly, it's at the last degree. It's at 29 degrees of Aries. Now, there's a lot of planets in the sky right now at the last degrees. And so when we have that, those planets are all going to get woken up by that new moon, or that full moon, rather. We got Uranus, we got Jupiter, Jupiter's at 25, but it's going to get woken up right before. So that Thursday promises to be a quiet day, whereas Friday promises to be fairly volatile with a lot of activity. And we also see things clearly that we hadn't seen before, because Mars is making aspects this week. And he's making positive aspects to Neptune, so that's nice. Then he's making positive aspects to Jupiter and Uranus, so that's nice. And then he's making crabby aspects to Neptune, so that's disillusionment or depression. So if you find yourself depressed this week, don't say I didn't warn you. And then on Saturday, the sun goes into Scorpio, and we officially start the fixed season of fall. And then on UN Day, the Sunday the 24th, Mars trines Uranus. So we've got a lot of Mars this week, and we're going to be feeling it as we move forward. So first we're going to be thinking things, because Mercury is going to be in the last degrees of the signs, making aspects to Neptune and Libra and Chiron and Jupiter before he changes signs to go into Scorpio. And then the Sun is going to make aspects to those planets before it changes signs to go into Scorpio. And then there's a full moon, and then Mars makes a bunch of aspects before he goes into Sagittarius next week. So it's a pretty intense week, because Mercury's going into Scorpio, Sun's going into Scorpio, and they're all going to be running in Scorpio over the weekend and into the early part of next week up until Thursday of the 28th, when Mars goes into Sag. So we're entering probably the most intense weeks of the year, this next 2 weeks. And your job is to say to people, well, most intense week of the year this year, when they're looking miserable, depressed, sad, or unhappy, and if they have a really hot date, say to them, most intense week of the year, and have them smile at you and go, ooh, really? Because that's the positive sign of Scorpio. But we do know that Scorpio does tend to have more the lower energies manifest in the collective, right? Not necessarily in us. And all the Scorpios don't write me emails saying, I'm not a lower form Scorpio, I'm a higher form. I'm not talking people. I'm talking collective. I'm talking down and dirty here. We're talking five planets rolling around in Scorpio going, yeah, let's just see how intense it can get. And we're going to have it be feeling really, really intense as those things happen. Okay, think about it. Right now, Venus is in Scorpio, and she's ruling Mercury and the Sun and Saturn, right? So they're all answering to her. She answers to Mars. When the Mercury and the Sun go into Scorpio, they get a Scorpio cast already. Right now, they're trying to be Libras. They're really trying hard, not always successfully, but they're trying. And when they go into Scorpio, they get really intense because now they're in Scorpio because, you know, Scorpio's intense. It's supposed to make up for the nice, polite stuff that Libra does. Scorpio goes, enough with the polite stuff. Let's get naked and roll around in the sex, you know, roll around and have sex and get on the bed. You know, and you think about it, like when you come home and you're all pretty and whatever, and then you start fooling around, your stuff all gets rumpled. That's Scorpio. It's not about following the rule. Pluto's in Capricorn, answers to Saturn in Libra, answers to Venus in Scorpio, back to Mars in Scorpio, right? North Node, Ceres, they're both in Capricorn, they both go to Mars in Scorpio. The Aquarius moon, or right now, the Neptune in Aquarius, the Chiron in Aquarius, Aquarius answers to Saturn, right, and goes back to Scorpio. If you're going to do traditional rulers and you're going to have it answer to Uranus, it's Pisces. Goes back to Pisces, Uranus goes back to Aquarius, goes to Scorpio, or it goes to Pisces. You know, so actually Jupiter and Uranus, are dancing a little bit in Pisces. So they're actually kind of off in the corner having a conversation. Then we have Venus in Scorpio. She's answering to Mars. Mars in Scorpio is answering to Scorpio. So like the whole chart's going to Scorpio. And all the house rulers are going to Scorpio. It's a very, very watery time. And the only planet that's in Earth is Pluto. Like, come on, how hard is this? I mean, we want to count an asteroid. We can throw in Juno. She's in Earth. But nothing in Earth. Everything in water and air. So we are really going to be feeling water and air in an amazing amount. And water and air is, you know, emotions erupting, or communicating emotionally. But with no earth or low earth and tons of air and water and, you know, less and less and less and less and less and less, less and less out of whatever, all the air planets, when they move into Scorpio, the water goes out of control. And that happens when we get to the 20th. And so our job is to say, wow, that's going to be kind of a rockin' week. Now, the Scorpios actually are having a lot of fun right now. The rest of us, this is what it feels like to be a Scorpio. Okay, now they're used to it, you know. So sometimes when you have an aspect like this and you go, really? They feel like this all the time? People really feel sorry for them. This is what Scorpio feels like. So not every day, but on their bad days, this is the energy that they live in. And this is why they can get a little intense on a bad day, because you can feel how intense it is. And we are in the beginning of the intense. We have not gotten to as intense as it's going to get. That happens this week, okay? Because then we are only going to have Saturn in air and Neptune and Chiron in air and Pluto in Earth. That's it. And everybody else is in water. A lot of water. A lot of emotions. A lot of flooding. A lot of feelings. And so your job is to say, wow, look at those feelings. I'm having these really intense feelings. And say, I am. You know, I am. Because it's going to feel really intense. And then the other thing that happens is once those planets that are now in cardinal, which is the Sun and Mercury, get into Scorpio, everybody's going to get very fixed in what they want. I want what I want. It's like, oh, my. As opposed to, well, what do you want? Well, all right, maybe we can talk and figure out how to do it. We're going to be very, very, no, it has to be my way or else, right, because it's fixed water. And on a bad day, manipulative. So you're going to watch people doing kind of manipulative stuff. And your job is when that happens is to say, ooh, that feels like I'm being manipulated. And also to look and see if you're manipulating, you know, because there is a tendency with this energy that you're going to manipulate. You know, you want something, and rather than being direct, you kind of approach it from a manipulative point of view. I guess that's the best way to say it. And forward we go. You go, okay, you know, I am in the mood to manipulate, control, and abuse my power. And this is what this energy is. It's an interesting week, probably the worst week of the year, in the sense of emotional craziness. However, it is productive, right? So now the goal with this, because there is so much intense fixed emotion, if you can take this emotion and focus it on something you want to accomplish, you can move mountains. Mountains. Now, not accomplish, control, manipulate, get them to do what you want, meaning, you know, you're in love with someone and they dumped you and you're going to stalk them and chase them down. I'm talking about you've been thinking you want to get the website done. You've been thinking you're going to go apply for a new job. You've been thinking you're going to move. You're going to look at some houses. You're going to figure out your credit rating. You're going to work with the IRS. Whatever Scorpio thing that you've been putting off doing is a great week to do it. Because it's very supported with the trine to Neptune and Jupiter, or with the trine to Jupiter and Uranus, but it also, the clouds come off. You actually see how to do it, because Mars gets past the fogginess of Neptune. Plus, all those planets are behind you, and they have your back. So the whole idea of this energy is Scorpio never forgets, and it keeps track. And has your back. So direct the energy towards something that you can actually accomplish. Because you will be amazed, absolutely amazed. Mars is in its favorite sign, loves to be in Scorpio. It's not scattered, totally focused, incredibly fixed on his vision. And he's really powering, right? And he, you know, if we go, he answers to Pluto. You know, Pluto's in Capricorn. It's accomplishing things. It's on the north node of destiny. If we say he's just answering to himself because he's in Scorpio and we do traditional rulers, he still has enormous power. He's rocking. And so we got to take that energy and really, really focus it, because you will be amazed at what you get accomplished. So we talked about, it's a lot to talk about today. I mean, I know I've been going on long-winded and there's people waiting for calls, but we're still not done yet. It's Scorpio. It's my show. I can do whatever I damn well please. See, there you go. That's how it works. All right, so I'm not quite done, and then I will take some calls. All right, so the Sun this week has really nice aspects to Neptune and Chiron, encouraging us to heal and release. Has an in-conjunct to the Sun that says, it's not working the way I want it to. Let's come up with a new plan. And then it is really volumized because it has aspects to Uranus saying, okay, I have to adjust and change this. The adjusting aspect on the 20th, when the Sun is in-conjunct to Uranus, is going to ask you to make an adjustment. It's that you have to shift something. So you're going to have to shift something on Wednesday, but it's a good shift. And trust the process and live in the moment and look at the story and say, you know, this is the direction I want to head in. This is where I'm going. Then the Sun comes to Scorpio on the 23rd, and boom, we change energies. We're like into Scorpio. We're into the fall, and off he runs. Mercury has a pile of aspects, too, because he's at the last degrees of Libra. So he's going to be trying to Neptune and Chiron. He's going to be able to talk to you about what the dream is. He's going to have a little trouble working with Uranus and saying, well, okay, what are we doing? How are we going to actually do it? So he has to change his mind on the 19th, and, of course, the Sun changes his mind on the 20th, or they both have to learn to live in the moment. Mercury goes into Scorpio on the 20th. Now, he's moving really fast. He gets all the way up to 6, Scorpio, by the end of the week. So he's zipping along, and, of course, we know when a planet enters a new sign these days, he then goes and first up goes talks to Pluto, the godfather. So Mercury is going to go talk to Pluto on the 22nd, which is the full moon. And that is a power day in terms of asking for what you want. Anxiety the couple days before, but the sextile to Pluto, which takes place at 3:37 in the afternoon or at noon 37 for the West Coast people, on Friday the 22, as we're approaching that full moon, great time to ask for stuff. And he also then talks to Ceres and the North Node saying, okay, this is where I really want to go. So Friday is probably one of the better ask days, recognizing people are going to be out of control and crazy. At the same time, if you can manage to do it in a calm way, it's a good day. And also back to the spring of 2009, what was going on for you then. Venus is pretty quiet this week. She's just toddling along, going backwards, doop-de-doop-de-doop. We're not going to hear from Venus. She's in the underworld. I mean, you may hear from an ex-lover, but not even worth talking to them this week. Talk to them next week. And then Mars, of course, is very, very active this week. Big, big active. Mars and Scorpio. Big, big Mars. Big, big. I had people over. We were working on charts today. And somebody was talking about Keith Richards' book. And I can't remember. Can't remember the name of it. But he said Mick Jagger had a little toodle. Toodle, I think it was. A little toodle. He has a little toodle. What a thing to say about your bandmate. But people would apparently get naked with Mick and they go, he's a little toodle, but Mick's a little guy. I mean, he's not supposed to have a big toodle. He's supposed to have a little toodle. So anyway, Mars is really big this week. He's got a big toodle. So it's a great week to get naked. It's a great week to, if you can, get naked. It's a great week to recognize that passions are running high. And Mars, as your passionate go-get-em kind of guy, directed towards something you want to get done. You will be amazed at how you whip through stuff. All right, so he's got a trine to Jupiter on the 20th, and then he's got a semi-square to Saturn. He's going to be a little cranky on the 21st. He's got a square to Neptune and Chiron on the 22nd. He's got an opposition to Admetus, which is a Uranian planet we don't talk about a whole lot, but we do watch them, and that's a separation and ending on the 23rd. He's got a trine to Zeus on the 23rd. He's got a trine to Uranus on the 24th, breaking free. So a lot of energy with Mars this week. Not always fun energy, but definitely gets stuff accomplished. And the trine to Jupiter and Uranus straddles or surrounds the square to Neptune Chiron. So Jupiter says, I want it. Neptune Chiron disillusioned you. And then Uranus comes along and says, okay, I'm going to get it. So this is a great week. You say, can I have this? And they go, nah, maybe not. And you go, I'm disillusioned. But then at the end of the week, you get the yes. So that's good. Pluto joins with Ceres this week on the 19th. So we're all going to be working with our mother issues or our parenting issues, how we were either parented well or not. Now, last time these two got together, we had that thing blow up in the Gulf of Mexico. So we want to watch this energy because it's things blowing up in the environment. And Pluto and Ceres don't really like each other because they are siblings, admittedly. But Pluto ran off with his niece, Ceres' daughter. So they don't get along so well. But they're joining this week. So watch for reunions or unions or marriages or partners that come to light on the 19th. It's also, that's a great week for things to be revealed that you're having an affair with somebody. So, because Pluto's going to tell some tales when he joins up with your mother. Would you want your mother to know what you've been doing? That's the question to ask. And then Vesta is busy. Ceres is busy. They're all kind of reasonable. And then Ceres joins with the North Node on the 24th, which is next Sunday. So that is very much about nurturing yourself into a new thing. Ceres joining to the North Node traditionally is an excellent time to start new exercise programs or to start new diets. So if you kind of work this week on getting yourself ready for whatever the change is going to be, next Sunday is an excellent day to begin a new diet or a new plan of creativity, living in abundance. You know how it works. Okay, so let's see. We got some callers. And it looks like the queue is full. If you do want to call me, press 1 because it raises your hand. If you're just listening, that's totally cool too. You don't have to raise your hand. But if you raise your hand, and I have time, I will call on you. So here we go. Hello, 443. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you have a question?
Yeah, tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh, cool. Great week for a birthday.
Yeah.
Rocking year. Yeah. Okay.
So that's true. It's 10/18/68.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born at 1:40 p.m. in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
And aside from any general solar return information you might want to throw in, my question is, for the past, maybe 2 years or so, I have been losing my hair like crazy. And I'm not seeing like bald patches. It's more like it's growing in, but it's breaking off. And I've been under doctor's care, and nothing is really seeming to work, and it's really starting to kind of freak me out because it's a huge, noticeable change in my appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what you see around that.
Well, I would get yourself tested for heavy metals because I think it's a metal issue. Have you had blood work on testing for metals?
I don't think for metals, no.
Okay. Have a test for metals. You've got, the house, Venus, okay, let's talk about what I'm seeing in your chart, October 1868, right, 1:40 in the afternoon in Fort Worth. So you have an in-conjunct between Venus rules hair and Saturn rules hair, okay? Venus rules the beauty of the hair, and Saturn rules the structure or the texture, kind of, is it thin, is it thick, is it whatever. And those two people in your chart are in what's called an inconjunct. They have a crabby aspect with each other. And when I see that, and I use slightly wide, some people are going, that's too wide for an inconjunct. Because Saturn is joined to Vesta, and Saturn's in the third house of how your hair appears, and Uranus rules your second house of beauty, and Uranus is in Libra, Venus, on the south node. Uranus and Venus breaks off. Sudden breaks of the beauty, literally. And then Neptune and Venus are joined with Juno, right? Juno is in conjunct to your Chiron. So there's something that you're partnering with that's making your hair fall off, right? That, Juno in conjunct Saturn, she's partnering with something that's making her hair fall off. And also Venus is in conjunct Vesta, so it's something in the house or it's something in your environment. Saturn is in Aries. Aries is fire, metal. So it can be a couple things. It can be the diet is too acidic, or there can be too many metals in your diet, literally metal. You're consuming too much metal of some sort that's making your hair break. So I would have yourself tested for a spectrum of different metals and see if you have toxicity in any of them, particularly looking at the Venus metals such as copper. Do you wear copper bracelets? Do you live in copper? Do you have copper bowls? Do you use copper plates? Is there any ingestion of copper? Nope.
Not that I know of. I mean, I may be ingesting it in a way that I'm not aware of, but I don't wear it or use it cooking or anything like that.
Okay. Well, check for metal. I would look for metal poisoning of some sort because it's Neptune, Venus is poison. So there's something that's poisoning you. In a mean way, it's poisoning your hair and making it fall out, So I would look even under poisons that make your hair break.
Okay.
And see if they're, it can be a heavy metal like arsenic or aluminum or something. But I'm thinking it's a Venus-ruled metal, which is, she rules copper. She's got a few other metals that are under her domain that I don't remember the name of right offhand. But I would check that. And the time frame for it, I mean, you can definitely solve this because Venus is retrograde right now wanting you to look. And literally, if we look at your transits, Venus is on coming to your Athena in the next couple days, which is figuring it out what it is. But I think it's an ingestion issue. You got the moon in Virgo, and you have joined to Mars, right? So by what you eat, moon, Mars, you attack your body. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but that you can eat it or ingest it, and that can cause it. Or it can be simply environmental. you know, not meaning to eat the lead that's in the pitcher that you got from Mexico, but that that can then cause the breakage because the hair shaft is not being formed, and it's a Saturn issue. So it's somehow, it's in the third house. It's either environmental or it's, in, you know, it's something that you're working with on a daily basis. So that would
I
be where I would start.
Okay, huh? I cook on cast iron a lot. I'll check that
okay.
out.
Check and see if you're too high in iron.
Okay, that would be a good working
Saturn
present
in Aries.
To figure this
Aries
out.
Aries is iron, huh? Well, I was going to say iron right off the bat, but then I'm looking at Venus, which is south node. So you do a lot of tomatoes and iron?
Not tomatoes, but I, like I said, I cook in iron almost every day. And it's funny because when all of this started 2 years ago, I was really anemic. I didn't have enough iron.
Right.
So could
now
it be
too
that
much.
Too, or is it? Is it?
No, it means you got too much now.
Okay. Okay.
I would check that there's too much iron now. You're not. You've gone. Are your fingernails? Do you have like white and pink? I mean, can you see your? You know, the tips of your nails now. Do your fingers underneath get pink?
Yeah, they're pink.
Okay, and then the nail itself is white. Because
mm-hmm.
Saturn in Aries is too much iron, or an issue with iron absorption. Right. You're getting towards menopause. Right. Aries is iron. Aries is metal. That's where I got the metal from, because you know you're Capricorn rising and you have
mm-hmm.
Saturn in the third, but now you're getting towards the change, so you're probably not bleeding as much or maybe not losing as much iron, and the or maybe it is not enough metals in your hair and that's causing it to break, but it's tied to metal somehow. So do
okay.
a scan of what are normal metals and nutrients to have in your blood, and then. You don't have normal, whatever, it's either too high or too low. I happen to think it's too high, but it may be too low. I mean, I'm not 100%
okay.
Uranus, so it can go the opposite way of whatever I think. But check it, because I think you'll find whatever that balance is. But if you've been cooking in iron, you know, maybe there's something in the cast iron pan that you're getting in addition to the iron that you're not, your body doesn't like.
Right.
You have Saturn in Aries, which is too much of something, and it's a consumption issue. Because the moon is in, Saturn is in conjunct to your Pluto, right, in Virgo, which is you're eating it. You know, you're somehow consuming it. That's why, or, you know, but look, it might be lead, I don't know, but it's some metal. So get your metals tested. And that's not a normal thing, that's not a normal blood test, part of the
okay.
normal blood test things.
Okay, I'll
so I think
do
you
that.
Can definitely
Thank you so much.
It. You're welcome. It's definitely ingested, though. So I would, you know, kind of check your levels. So, good luck
I will.
With it. Keep me posted.
I will do that. Thank you.
I love to solve things with astrology.
Yes, me
and
too.
How many people here? Yeah, I know. How many people are going, I didn't know metal was it. Yeah. When I was a young baby astrologer, there was a woman in our class that was an Aries, and she had Mars in Aries and stuff. She had three planets in Aries. And she had too much iron in her body. She was a redhead. Very cute. And she was like one of those little people that walk like 300 miles, you know, every day. You know, you could tell she walked like 40 miles, just sneaker girl. And she had to go and have the iron taken out of her blood because she had too much iron. And I was like, wow, too much iron. And the astrology teacher said, well, she has three planets in Aries. And I was like, oh. And now this woman has Saturn in Aries, so she may not have enough metal in her system. Because it's structurally the hair is breaking, or she may have too much that causes the breaks to happen. But Saturn in Aries is something with metal. And Saturn's a problem with, and it's chronic, and Saturn, of course, rules the structure of the hair while Venus rules the beauty of the hair. So we'll see. She'll call back maybe and tell us that, yes, there was a metal issue. Okay, let's try another caller. Hi, 912, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have a question?
Actually, my son has a question, but he's working. So
okay.
his question from what I know of your work is, quote, health issues. I lose weight, and then I just can't, then it just comes back. So
mm-hmm.
here's his birthday, June 1st.
Okay. June 1st.
1987.
Uh-huh.
9:28 a.m. in Mays Landing, New Jersey. And he doesn't know a lot about astrology, so he needs layman's terms.
Okay, so June 1st, 87, 9:28 in the morning, Mays Landing. Do you still live in New Jersey someplace?
No, he's in Savannah, Georgia, and he's moving to Atlanta, Georgia in January. And I said to him, well, you know, maybe Ann can help you. She can look at your chart and say, hey, here's the reason why you gain weight and lose weight by what you're doing.
Okay, the reason he gains and loses weight, it's not where he's living. But now that he's down in Georgia, he's moved from a Mays Landing, he's got a Leo rising. When he moves to Georgia, he gets a Cancer rising, which means he's ruled by the moon. Okay, so up in the north part, he's a Leo, which is ruled by the sun in Gemini, which is chatty and able to pretty much do whatever they want. You know, tall, skinny, able to communicate, yada, yada. When he moves to Georgia, he moves to his Cancer ascendant. So suddenly now the moon is in charge and he has the moon in the first house and the moon's in Leo. So what happens is he goes on a diet and maybe loses a little weight, but then the moon in Cancer rising wants to be a little pudgy. It likes being pudgy. It wants a little extra padding. Gemini, not so much. The other thing is now that he's of a certain age, he has literally turned into a Cancer the last 3 years. So he's not a Gemini. I mean, he's a Gemini. He started as a Gemini, and he'll always be a Gemini, but now he's entered the pudgy phase, and he's got 27 years that he has to learn. I know it feels like a really long time, but he's a progressed sun in Cancer, so now he's answering to the moon. And the moon, in his case, he's got moon in the first house in Leo. Guy likes his portions, likes his meat, likes stuff, likes his food. Moon in the first. He likes to party and eat food. And then he squares Pluto. So he can go on a diet and totally lose it. No problem. But then he gets back out free and he goes, ha, 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 and he gets all excited and he eats his food. And he also has Jupiter high in his chart. So he loves, he's a happy guy. He likes to have fun. So I would say to him that the best way to do it for him to keep it off is half portions on everything. And he can do half portions, no problem, because he's got a lot of Gemini in his chart where he gets something and he cuts it in half and he doesn't eat half of it. He normally would eat three, he gets to eat one and a half. And that will keep it off and he still can do everything he wants to do. Because he doesn't have an excess chart, but he does have a chart that is a little prone to binges where he gets a little bit too, and now that he's a Cancer rising in Georgia, he's whatever he's doing down there, maybe there's more, you know, they have those steak fried chicken things and stuff like, they have a lot of fat in their food, and maybe he's just eating much more fatty food. But it really is, I would say to him, if he's religious in his half portions, that would help because he has the moon square Pluto, he has to control portions control. And he will have this for the next 27 years. Then he turns into a Leo, and it's much easier again. But he has another 27 years of being a pudgy thing if he's not careful. That's
okay.
Not great news, but, yeah, it's the news. But, yes, he can totally lose it. He's really good. He gets really disciplined, and he loses it. But he has to do the permanent behavior change. And when you say to him he has to do permanent, he'll go, I can lose the weight, but I hate living like that. And I'm saying to him, don't worry about it. Just eat half of what you normally eat. Eat everything you love, but only eat half of it. If you throw away half the sandwich and half the soup, or you order half and you take it home, you will maintain your weight because he doesn't really like to be deprived.
Okay, so the idea of taking a hydroxy cut, which is a thing I guess you take when you work out and it gives you lots of energy, and I'm just going,
yes.
I don't think you should take drugs for you to help yourself with this.
Yeah, I wouldn't do drugs. He has a weird reaction to drugs with Uranus and Neptune in his sixth house. I wouldn't do drugs. He basically is an excess issue. You know, my grandfather used to say this, the hardest exercise is to push yourself away from the table. and he's got the moon in the first house. He likes to eat. He likes to party. He's got Jupiter high. He likes to be the king. He's got King Edward's chart, you know, the big fat one. So tell him he can get really, really fat with this chart. The best way to handle it is to take that discipline and eat half portions. Because he can do half, it's the depriving himself he can't do. He can do the depriving for a little while, and then he gets mad and he eats whatever he damn well pleases. You know, he loses it, but then he goes, okay, you know, and starts back. He just has to do half portions, and if I do half portions, and he may find he can do three-quarter portions. But no strange drugs for him. He gets a really bad reaction to strange drugs. Plus, he's got Neptune in the sixth, so it's got some long-term, whatever he's thinking of taking, it's got some long-term problem with the structural issues of the bones, and he should stay away from it. It sounds good, but it's not good. That's my advice. All right, cool.
Thank you.
And we have come to the end of the show, I believe. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
We've come to the end of the show. Forward we go. You know, it goes so fast. Oh, man. All right. But, you know, another week. Have a great week. Lots and lots and lots of water. Lots and lots and lots of feelings. Process. Stick your feet in salt water when you're feeling really overwhelmed. You'll be amazed how much better it makes you feel. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. Take care and have a good day. Bye.